64 degrees in Kalamazoo. Yeah, I have that a good authority, 64 degrees. And no, Michael didn't tell me.
No, you got it right in front of you.
I do. I have it right in front of me, right here. Anyway, 64 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 3:08 and time once again for that that little breath of sunshine in the afternoon known as the Jeremy Lawrence Show. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. I'm glad that you are with me today. And looking forward to a great show today. Let me tell you, we've got lots of things we're going to try and tuck in here. I don't know if you heard about this. NASA has come out and said, you know what? We're going to find out within the next 20 years that we are not alone.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. NASA is coming out with this, you know, and NASA, given that they couldn't get to space right now if they tried,
yeah,
they're an authority on it. They would know. So we'll try and fit that in at some point today. Also, interesting ways that the White House is trying to defend this lawsuit that John Boehner is coming up with. It's kind of interesting to hear some of the defense of it. And we get the opportunity, we'll go over that. The Wolf Hunt, that's made some news. Also, immigration, that's made a lot of news. So we'll definitely get to that today. And, of course, the race between Brian Ellis and Justin Amash. This thing, I'm intrigued by this. So we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a few minutes and give you the opportunity to talk about it as well. Of course, with any of the things that we are talking about, I encourage you to be a part of the program. We love having you on board because it just makes it better when it's a conversation with you. So if you want to chime in on anything that we're talking about, 382-4280 is the local phone number. 877-382-4280 is the toll-free number if you're just outside the local area. You could still take part in things. Or you can also text us today, 803-73, and be a part of things that way as well. So I hope that you'll be able to do that. Now, a few things that we want to cover before we continue on. If you missed out, and I know there were several that missed out yesterday on our ticket giveaway. So we did a ticket giveaway, a couple of movie tickets for Planes, Fire, and Rescue, which Disney thinks you haven't gotten enough of planes. So this is the animated thing, the planes that talk to one another, kind of like the cars that talk to one another. You know, they did a couple of movies on that. Took them years to get the sequel to that one out.
This one, it didn't take long at all, just the next year.
Yeah, this one, it took like, you know, 12 months, basically. But it's a brand new movie coming out this weekend. And we got a couple of tickets to it, so you can figure out for yourself if indeed you have not gotten enough of planes. This is Planes, Fire, and Rescue, Celebration Cinema in Portage. And we got a couple of tickets we're going to give away. Not now, sometime during the course of the program we're going to do that. So you can look forward to that. And because Michael is on top of things, as he always is, he probably already has a dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. It wouldn't shock me if he did.
I'm actually trying to look up one right now.
Okay, let's give him away now.
No, wait a minute.
All right. He's working on it. You know, he's putting the work in. We might as well let him have some fun with it. So dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia coming your way as a part of that. Also, a couple of different things. The video of the day, Derek Jeter. People around here love him. And why not? Local guy, New York Yankee, one of the greatest to ever play the game. He was on his victory lap this season. He's saying this is the final year. One of the people that originally scouted him says, you know, the one place he's going to go is Cooperstown.
Definitely.
And I think that he's a lock, really. He could literally hit no more home runs for the rest of his life and still make it. He's that good.
He doesn't have to hit home runs to get there. He's collected over 3,000 hits. He's been an all-star shortstop for his entire career, basically. He's a lock.
The point is, he's got nothing to prove.
No.
He has earned legitimately from fans of baseball, fans of any sport, really, even fans of other teams in baseball, he's earned that nod of respect. All right. Okay, it's him. you know, yeah, I want to see him do well, but I want to see them lose.
He can go 4 for 4 as long as, you know, they don't score enough runs to beat us.
They're base hits, and they only get 4 hits to begin with. Yeah. Then we'll be fine. There you go. But so there's a video out there that, you know, they've got, you know, Jordan's got his own brand and the whole bit that they put together. Well, Michael Jordan and associates have put together a spot called Respect. And you've got to see it. You really have to see it. In fact, 2 million people across the country had seen it as of this morning. I'm sure this thing has skyrocketed at this point. Well, it's our video of the day today. And why not just a little salute, if you will, tip of the hat. And if you've seen the video, you know what I'm talking about, to Derek Jeter, Kalamazoo native, I guess you call him that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Went to school here and the whole bit. And all around great guy. So check it out for yourself. It's video of the day in the blog section at the website, WKZO.com. Also posted on our Facebook page. And you could be a part of that by clicking on the Facebook link at our website, liking us, and you'll be a part of that. Something new we're doing today as well. I decided, you know what? They keep telling me, all right, you got to do a blog. And I thought, okay, well, we'll do these videos. Okay. But you know what? That's not quite enough. We got to do more. You have to do more. And I've learned over the course of time that I've been hosting this program that there are so many things you just can't get to all of the good issues. There's all sorts of stuff out there. So what we've decided to do is a blog post of the day. Because if you haven't gotten enough of my opinion or enough of the show and you want more, and I know you do, really, because who doesn't? Michael dreams about this. You know, if there was more show, yes.
Yes.
All right. He doesn't really believe that, but at least he's supporting this, and that's good. Decided to write a little daily post for you. So hopefully you can check that out. The blog post of the day, also in the blog section, conveniently in the same place we put the videos. So if you're looking for the videos, you can read that today. And we touched on this a little bit yesterday, but I wanted to go in a little more in depth. Is Sarah Palin bad for the GOP? It's a question that has been asked. It's being asked currently because of her calls for impeachment of the president. And I give you my 2 cents worth on that. Not only on the impeachment, but on Sarah Palin and that kind of thing. If you want to check it out, go to WKZO.com and check the blog post of the day where we tackle that. This we. Me, we. Not you, we.
No. You wrote this all yourself.
I wrote this. I wrote this all by my lonesome. Isn't that great?
Yes.
It's fantastic. I just, I guess, you know, I just have way too much time on my hands. Anyway. So check that out for yourself. Hope that you will enjoy that and feel free to respond to it and that kind of thing and take part in the ongoing conversation that we're having. All right. Well, Justin Amash, you know, he's running for re-election. And I guess I'm watching the way that this is shaking down. I mean, I've seen the Brian Ellis commercials where he's presenting himself as this is a guy you want to vote for. You know, and honestly, I don't have a dog in this fight. I really don't. This is not a race I'm even personally voting in. I can't. I don't live anywhere in that district. But it's fun to watch. And I know that if you're listening, some of you actually are going to have to vote in this thing. And God help you if you do. Because it's a fun one to watch. Now, you know, whoever wins this thing is likely going to end up being the representative from this district. It's just, it's heavily Republican, heavily conservative, that kind of thing. So, Brian Ellis, he's got an awful lot of name backers, if you will. An awful lot of people that have stepped up and said, you know what, we like this guy. He's the challenger in this race. Now, it's unusual that a challenger will get a lot of these people that I guess you would consider establishment types. But they're coming out and saying, no, this is the guy that we want to win in this. Pete Hoekstra was the latest one to jump up and say, yep, Brian Ellis is my guy. And I find it interesting because if you look through, and there was a poll done, I believe this was done late last month. And in this particular poll, Justin Amash was shown to have a huge, huge lead. This was an Epic MRA poll. This was, I'm looking for the release date, and it's not jumping out at me at this particular point. But looks like it was mid-June when this was actually publicized. 55 to 35, Justin Amash over Brian Ellis. Which makes you think, all right, with that kind of a lead, an Epic MRA is usually pretty good. You got to wonder why all these establishment types are coming out and going, Brian Ellis is my guy. The thing that I find curious about all of this, Justin Amash is in Congress. He's known as kind of the Republican, conservative, Tea Party slash libertarian type. You know, so he tends to vote with the idea of limiting government. And that's kind of his thing of government shouldn't get involved. Government's not shouldn't be involved in this, shouldn't be involved in that, that kind of thing. That's his line. And he sticks to it. Maybe even to a fault in the eyes of some people. But that sort of a record has been brought up over and over. You know, they're sitting there saying, oh, he's the friend of Al-Qaeda and things like that, which it amazes me that that sort of thing, that they're able to say that kind of thing. You know, now I understand that some have said that and it's based on his voting record, but I understand where he stands on things. Now, here's the thing. If Justin Amash has this huge lead, and by that, and granted, it's almost a month old, so you never know. Could have tightened by now. But if you think about, there's a difference of 20 points in this election. It's possible. It is possible, definitely. I mean, we see from what happened to Eric Cantor that anything is possible in a primary campaign. Nevertheless, it's kind of that that race that just says, all right, you know, there's, I guess maybe it's just kind of that race that is the whole idea of, you know, the Tea Party versus the establishment on this. And I think that's some of what it is. That, you know, the establishment's like, no, we're going to slam these guys down. The thing that I find interesting about it is Justin Amash is there. He's got a 20-point lead, at least according to that poll taken in mid-June. What if he does get reelected? What if he does? Can you imagine some of these establishment guys that backed the challenger going, Justin, hey, good to see you back. No hard feelings here. You have to wonder if there's been some thought of that. Now, I don't know. Maybe they're just looking at this going, nope, we got to get him out of there, and that's that. And the whole idea of, yeah, you go for broke, but, you know, there have been some where this has already been proven that the establishment candidate can be beaten. But in that particular case, if you're looking at, say, you know, the Eric Cantor race, the establishment candidate is the one that was holding the office. It was the challenger who was kind of a Tea Party type. And he was the one that ended up taking the primary and will probably eventually take that seat. In this case, you've got it reversed. And will the conservative side, I mean, you know, they call conservative side, but will the conservative, quote unquote, establishment side be able to take this seat? Say, all right, yeah, we've got our guy in there. We've got a guy that can work with us, that kind of thing. Now, Brian Ellis, based on everything that I've seen and read about the guy, it seems like he's the kind of guy that, I mean, he's just sort of your typical, yeah, this is a congressman. This is somebody that gets together, that does the work and does this kind of thing. Seems like the kind of guy that, you know, they would say, all right, this is a guy we can work with. This is a guy that will compromise when it's needed and stand firm when that's needed as well. Now, Justin Amash is the other type. I mean, you see him, you know, libertarian, that kind of thing. He sticks to his guns on that kind of thing. He is, he definitely has certain things that appeal to people about him. And I think, you know, those things are simply he sticks to his guns on those issues. He's got issues he believes in. He's got certain things that he believes. And those things are the things that he will not waver from. I understand that, too. And I understand the appeal of it. Love to know what you think about it. It's an interesting race. I just kind of wonder what would happen in the aftermath of this. Because, you know, let's just say Justin Amash ends up winning this thing. Wow. If he ends up winning this thing, just imagine the establishment will have to figure out, all right, what do we do with this guy? What are we going to do now? We're going to be able to shuffle him to the back somewhere? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'd love to get your opinion on it. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 80373 if you would like to text us and be a part of this as well. I don't know. Like I said, I literally do not have a dog in this fight. I just find it a curious one, a very, very curious one, and probably one of the most intriguing races that's going on, at the very least, in the state of Michigan. Let's head to the phones right now where Chris is standing by on the line. Chris, welcome to the program. There we go. Okay, there's Chris.
Welcome back.
Some reason the button's not working. I don't know why. Thanks, Chris.
I was vacation.
It was very good. Thank you.
Did you listen to the show at all?
I did not at all.
Oh, that hurts our feelings.
Well, if it's a vacation, I gotta spend some time on the beach and spend some time relaxing, you know.
Yeah, you gotta get fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am one of those concerned voters that is in the Justin Amash district. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty concerned about it.
Sure.
And you know, I don't understand why. I mean, apparently Ellis came out immediately after Amash won and announced that he was running. So that was kind of suspicious right off the bat. And the one thing I have a concern with Ellis, and I've listened to some of his interviews on other radio shows, of course, not while yours is on.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
And he sounds like a pretty square Republican, but to me, I think his interests are more for the Republican business than for the people's business. And that, you know, he represents business, which mm-hmm. needs to be represented.
Sure.
But I don't want special favors for business the same as I don't want special favors for any, you know, subgroup. If it's good for me, it's good for business. If it's not good for business, then it isn't good for me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to see, you know, a big business candidate, in my opinion.
So you don't think that that's having that kind of representative is a good idea then?
No, not if we can get a libertarian type like Justin Amash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I've been happy with Justin Amash in how he represents our district, pretty much, you know, like you had said, like on a libertarian basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does the Constitution say? And we're going to uphold that. And I'm really good with that. And even if that means, you know, I've listened to a lot of the ads where Justin Amash voted with the president, I don't know, half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an unfavorable rating from Right to Life. That one still bewilders me. I'm not sure mm-hmm. how that one occurred. But I've also listened to Amash explain why how he ended up voting with the president when he was voting against something like the pipeline, the XL pipeline. He voted against it, but only because, in his explanation, because there was a bunch of pork shoved in it. Mm-hmm. He said, take the pork out of it and we'll vote for the pipeline.
Sure, sure.
So, okay. So you know, I can support that position.
Okay.
I think that pipeline needs to be built, but I don't think we need special... You know, we don't need to pay everybody from Alaska to Florida in the in-between.
Okay. Chris, I do have to run. Thanks for your call.
No sweat. See you guys.
All right. We got Phil waiting on the line. Phil, we'll get to you here as we continue on talking about this Brian Ellis-Justin Amash race. Find out what Phil thinks about it and what you think about it as we continue ahead on The Jeremy Lawrence Show. 64 degrees in Kalamazoo. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. And right now we got Phil on the line. Phil, thanks for being so patient, and go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, sir. Just after January 1st of this year, there was a radio broadcast where they recorded a deal where two very high members of the Republican Party that used to be in President Bush's White House were talking, and the subject was Justin Amash.
Mm-hmm.
And their complaint about him was that he wouldn't vote for a law unless it was perfect. And I thought, isn't this the kind of law that people like, isn't this the kind of politician that people like you and I want? Somebody who does what's right?
Well, I mean, it's interesting you bring that up. And let's face it, there's probably very few laws that actually are, quote unquote, perfect. And there's a whole lot of imperfect ones out there. An argument can be made either way on that.
But I think the argument that us average taxpayers are interested in is having people in office that vote for and make good laws, not mm-hmm. some that might be close. But I thank you, Guy.
All right. Thanks for your call. You know, that's the thing. From our standpoint, maybe it is just standing up for what we want. Could be. I don't know. I don't have a dog in this fight, so it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. We'll continue talking with you. You know what? The weather. That's an issue right now.
Yeah, it is.
We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Bob Larson will be with us, so keep it here. It's 3:39, 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Heritage Christian Academy, your local pre-K through 12 school where faith turns friends into family. Glad you could be along for the ride. You know, we are in a quite a ride now from a weather perspective.
Yes, we went from being really warm to really cool.
And I got to say, this cooler temperatures, I really found them really cool this morning when mm-hmm. I stepped out. It was nice. Well, it was very, very nice to step out and enjoy some of those temperatures. I know you'd said you ran and didn't have too much trouble this morning.
No, didn't have to do a whole lot of sweating, thank goodness.
Now,
I mean, the wind helped out, and it was cloudy a little bit. And thank goodness I didn't get rained on, though.
Yeah, it has been doing a little bit of that today.
Yes.
But what's it going to do for the rest of this time? Are we going to be dealing with these cooler temperatures here for another day or so? When is it going to get warm again? Those are all the kind of questions that you know you want to deal with. You want to dig into this and find out just exactly what we're going to be dealing with. And, honestly, who better to talk to than the one, the only Bob Larson? When we have questions when it comes to weather, you know, he's our guy.
He's the weather expert.
He is. I would talk to you, Michael, but you're not much of a weather expert.
No, I just read it off of the website and call it good.
But Bob's the kind of guy that helps put this stuff together. He mm-hmm. can look at a map and figure out, that's going to be happening. That's why, you know what, instead of talking about Bob, maybe we ought to talk to him. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Jeremy. That works.
You know, Bob, we're just buttering you up so you'll give us a good forecast.
Or maybe try to change it a little bit since it's kind of cool and windy today.
Well, we haven't had too many complaints around here. I talked to a coworker earlier, and they said, yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time it's been this cool in July.
It has been a while for sure. Now, sometimes in the middle of a downpour, and if it's, you know, it's been raining for a while, it cools down like this. But on a day when, yeah, there had been some showers earlier, but by and large not raining, and even some sunshine, this is just remarkable for the middle of July.
So when it comes to the remarkability, I guess, of what we're in the middle of, how long are we going to be, quote-unquote, remarkable?
Another couple of days and nights before it starts to recover and turn back the other way. My word is why I had chosen crisp, as in a crisp, cool day, but I've called an audible here. And the word that I'm going with may not even be a word, but the word I come up here is fallish. Because it is, I'm sure that's not really a word, but you get the idea. It's a real taste of fall in the air. Case in point, The highest we have seen it officially this afternoon, by officially I mean at the airport where they keep the records,
mm-hmm.
the highest temperature there has been this afternoon was an hour or so ago at 66.
Mm.
66 is our average high on the 1st of October.
Wow.
Think about that for a moment. In the middle of July, July 15th, the average high today is 83, essentially mid-80s. The average low is 62. We have barely climbed above the average low, so it's very definitely unseasonable. This is the so-called polar vortex that people were alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really to be frightened about, but it certainly does stand out. It is an unusual day. Now, when it comes to the cool weather, it's certainly going to be with us tonight. The wind will diminish after sunset. We drop to 51. May not quite get out of the 60s again tomorrow, or if we do, it'll just briefly touch 70. Right back down to cool, lower 50s tomorrow night. But by Thursday, mid-70s. By Friday, back toward 80.
Okay, so once we head into the weekend, probably back to reality, so to speak.
Exactly. Now, that said, I don't see it becoming hot and humid anytime soon, but it'll certainly feel like July again in the sense it will be 80 or above within a few days, and the humidity will start to increase. Although that process is probably going to be fairly slow before we can get the stickiness and mugginess to come back, which means that it'll probably be a while, aside from these showers that we've seen scattered about this afternoon, might again tomorrow. Aside from that, it'd be a while before we deal with rain again in terms of pop-up thunderstorms. I don't see that being the case until maybe sometime early next week.
Well, I don't think there's going to be too many people complaining about a lack of humidity in the air.
No, certainly not. I wouldn't think so. And think of the break we can get on the electric bill. We talked about this yesterday, cutting back in the AC for a little while. And you mentioned, Jeremy, that air conditioning was broken. So this would be a good time for that to happen.
Definitely.
Open the windows.
Yeah. Yeah. We have had the windows open at our place. So I think the AC is better now.
Probably even have to close the windows tonight because it's going to be mighty cool.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll take mighty cool over mighty hot any day of the week.
Exactly.
So, all right, Bob. Well, you know what? We'll check in with you again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Bob Larson with AccuWeather, keeping you in the cool zone today,
not the hot zone.
Yeah, I wrote that myself. I'm very proud of it. Thank you. Okay, yeah, the one person clapping.
Round of applause. Golf clap.
Yeah, golf clap is probably the best thing that I'll get out of that particular comment. Well, I tell you, when we continue, we are going to be chatting with you about immigration. It is a hot, hot topic, probably the only hot thing of what we're talking about. But we'll talk about that, chat with you about it, get your opinion on it, because you know what? There's been a lot of things going on and some stuff happening right here in the state of Michigan. We'll talk about it as we continue on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. -64 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 3:47. The Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Well, immigration, controlling the border, this is the kind of stuff that has been in the news and has been a part of the mix of things that everybody's talking about, and it seems like everybody is. You know, the interesting thing about it is what you end up getting from the news media on this and what you get in general on this. Now, there's been a story, and you heard it in the news at the bottom of the hour if you were listening. If you miss out on that, chances are it'll be top of the hour as well. So this actually in Vassar, where people are protesting what they're hearing about, you know what? Some of these Central American children that have been coming to the United States, they might end up in Michigan. Some people don't like that sort of thing. Now, there were some things that were said there that we'll get to here in a minute, because I want to make sure that we're totally informed on this, if you will. I think, you know, one of the interesting things on this whole immigration thing, and you have heard about how, you know, there are people saying, this is a crisis, this is that. There are other people that are saying, well, wait a minute. President Obama kind of created all of this just simply by doing some of the things that he's done. And, you know, let's not forget, we've talked about, and I've talked about on this program before, when President Obama decided, all right, they were going to go to Congress, they were going to try and get something done along the lines of the DREAM Act, which is where you've got some of these kids who have been in America the vast majority of their life, maybe with the exception of, you know, they were born in Mexico and their parents came here 9 months after that or something. You know, they've been here in America. America is their home. And it is a problem that is created by the fact that our government has not been doing its job. And I think we can all kind of agree that, yeah, we've had an illegal immigrant problem because the government's not doing the job that we need them to in protecting the border. Now, the interesting thing about it, I mean, border control agents are coming along going, you know what? We're seeing some diseases that are coming in that we haven't seen in decades. And I have heard reports about it from various people. It's one thing that I know Todd Starnes has been looking at in his commentary. You hear every single day here on the station. This involves things like, you know, and they're talking about somebody that was dealing with some of these kids. They had somebody come down with bacterial pneumonia. Guys getting scabies, lice. Now, of course, we have lice in America, but not near as widespread. And I've heard stories about some of these kids as they're talking to workers there at these places they're keeping them, where there's lice jumping from their hair to their shoulder and that kind of thing, and they could clearly see it. And this is what we're dealing with at. Now, one of the things that they're finding out, you know, and they're talking about, well, these are people that are running from the problems in Central America, and they're running from the problems that we hear about this and this and that. The interesting thing about it is the actual report is that most of the illegals are figuring that they're going to receive what they call permisos, that they'll be allowed to stay once they get to the United States. Now, and this was reported in the Detroit News about this originally anyway, the story from Vassar about a protest there. Now, I'll say this. I understand that most of these people that are coming in right now are children, unaccompanied minors that have been sent to this country. And the idea is, well, if they get there, they'll have permission to stay. It'll be a better life for them. And, you know, you could picture, too, with the whole thing of, well, you know, we'll send the kid to the United States and, well, then we won't have to worry about him. One less mouth to feed. Let the United States do it. And that's kind of an issue if you think about it. Now, I have heard the argument of having compassion. And compassion is one thing. But I think we've got to have a respect for our laws that we have had on the books that we desperately need to actually, oh, I don't know, enforce. One of the things that this protest that took place in Vassar, they had signs there that said, go home, we're full. Another one says, no gang members, no terrorists. Well, with some of these minors, there's not a whole lot of gang members or terrorists among them. At least I wouldn't think so. So I kind of wonder if, you know, that's not the best choice of words there to do that. Or go home, we're full. You know, I have a bit of a problem with that because I am a person all about, you know what, if you want to come to this country and you want to do it the right way, you want to do it legally, then I 100% support you and would welcome you with open arms. Because you didn't come in and break our laws before you even really get settled. But instead, and I understand the idea of why people do it, because it takes 2-3 years, I said years, to come into this country the right way and the legal way.
Yeah, the process is just too long. We need to find a way to shorten it to, mm-hmm. you know, like a year or at least 6 months or so.
Well, and that's the issue. That's part of the issue anyway. We need to shorten the process. Now, it still won't solve the problem of people coming here illegally, which means two things. Number one, secure the border. Secure the border. Secure the border. And if you doubt my saying that, secure the border. We've got a very long border where people just pour in. And I think one of the other things that, and I don't think that President Obama will lay any claim to this, that this is part of the reasoning. They continue to say, well, it's violence in Central America. It's, you know, there are problems down there. And we understand why people, you know, it's a humanitarian crisis. I don't think he'll own up to this, that it was his own executive order that he signed when he didn't get his way in Congress that started this whole thing. Now, I think, yes, something needs to be done about these kids that are here, have been here illegally, and have been so for most of their entire lives. Something needs to be done because guess what? We screwed up and didn't do our job. So we need to do something that way. But that said, an executive order was not called for in that sort of thing. The executive order goes way far beyond what it needed to. Congress didn't sound off on it. Congress didn't give the blessing of approval to that. So that sort of thing, saying, well, you know what? Yeah, we're just not going to deport the Dreamers. We're not going to, you know, we're going to target this over here, but not for these people and not for those people. But yeah, for those people over there. Because you know what it's going to do. Word gets to Central America. Oh, kids that show up in America get a stay. Honey, get the kids. Send them. You can see it. You can see why they would think that. Because they're sitting here going, yes, President Obama decided that they get a stay. And that's part of the problem here. That's part of the problem is he's overstepped his bounds on this. It's something that he needs to be challenged on. Well, I kind of like the idea of having a lawsuit to be able to say, all right, you've overstepped your bounds here. We need to put a stop to it. Now, as I understand it, they're challenging the health care law on that because he's made changes to it based on whatever he wanted to. But this is another example of it where he said, all right, we're going to do it my way anyway. And that's where we've gotten ourselves into this. Now, compassion, absolutely. And I've seen people that have talked about this. I have seen this on the web, and it drives me bananas. People talking about, well, you got to have compassion. You got to, and it even points to religious people to say, well, you believe in life, but you don't believe in these kids that are coming illegally. The interesting thing about it is this. If you point that sort of finger at people of faith, then you turn around and tell them, and this has been told to people, you can't be a part of all of this. We've got these people detained. We're not going to take care of their religious needs. You separate church and state, you know. I mean, we can't do anything about it. So don't do both of those things. Don't sit there and say, well, you've got to have compassion, but not you. Not you. Let me tell you this. Compassion is not defined by what the government can do for people. Compassion is defined by you and I doing things for one person. You know, I saw a video today that was just absolutely astounding. It had nothing to do with the illegal immigrant thing, but talked about compassion for the homeless. And in this particular video, they end up giving a full pizza to a homeless guy. And in it, they show what he does when somebody walks up and says, hey, can I have a slice of that? And the homeless guy gives him one. It's fantastic.
Yeah, how generous is that? Absolutely.
But the bottom line is this. It was compassion in the beginning to say to the homeless guy, hey, here's a pizza. I'm going to help you out a little bit. Instead of, hey, here's a government program that can help you. It's not about government forcing us to be compassionate. It's about you and I taking the time to say, you know what, we're going to give you a helping hand. We're going to give you a hand up. Now, I don't have a problem with being compassionate in these times, particularly with these kids. But the bottom line is this. They were sent here under false pretenses, and they need to be sent home. And it's sad. And I know what we're sending them to. But you know what? They need to come here under honest pretenses. It's something that our leaders need to be able to address, and it's something that we need to address with them. We're going to keep talking about this in the next hour. Take your phone calls on it at 382-4280 and 877-382-4280 as the Jeremy Lawrence Show continues on 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.